This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment, Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
Coming up on 11 minutes after 6, the overnight crude oil market, 42 cents lower at $87.86. The Brent crude, 32 cents lower at $111.06. The December gold contract, $3.70 lower at $1,747.70. The U.S. dollar index, 0.003 higher at 80.195. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 853.5, up 5.75. March wheat trading at 867.75, up 6.25. December corn now trading at 752, up 6.5. March corn trading at 756.25, up 6.5. January soybeans trading at 1426, up 7.25. March beans trading at 1408.75, up 5.75. On the Chicago Board of Trade on Friday, December wheat ended at 847.75, up 2.5. March wheat ended at 861.5, up 1.75. May wheat ended at 868, up 2. December corn on Friday ended at 745.5, up 4.5. March corn ended at 749.75, up 4.5. May corn ended at 746.75, up 4.75. January soybeans Friday ended at 1418.75, up 10.5. March beans ended at 1403, up 9.25. May beans ended at 1382.75, up 8.25. December soybean meal on Friday ended at 428.60, up 7. January meal ended at 423.40, up 1. March meal ended at 414.30, down 1. December soybean oil Friday ended at 49.04, up 51. January oil 49.32, up 49. March oil 49.74, up 47. And December oats on Friday ended at 369, down a penny. March oats ended at 383, up 3/4. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
This is Wednesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with corn and beans lower and wheat slightly higher. Technical buying at the Board of Trade pressured corn and soybean values ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. Northern Western Illinois grain dealers quoted corn bids 2 cents lower at 721 to 739. Soybeans were mostly 4 to 5 lower at 1373 to 1391. Central Illinois grain dealers quoted their corn bids mostly 2 to 6 lower at 729 to 750. Soybeans were down 5 at 1393 to 1403. Corn bids in southern Illinois were mostly 2 to 4 lower at 713 to 757. Soybeans 5 to 11 lower at 1395 to 1423. Wheat bids were steady to 4 higher at 829 to 840. Illinois soybean processors case soybean bids were 4 to 5 cents higher at 1420 to 1428. The basis was then changed at 12 to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.4590 to $4.5090. That's down $1.70. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 2 to 3 lower at $7.41 to $7.53. Basis unchanged at option to 12 over the December. Dry distiller grain was offered at $2.53 to $2.60, unchanged to $3 higher. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids 2 to 3 lower at $7.37 to $7.41. Basis was unchanged at -4 to option the December. Soybeans ended 4 to 6 lower at $14.07 to $14.41. Basis was down 1 to unchanged at 1 under to 6 over the January. New crop wheat prices were down 1 at $8.20 to $8.22. Basis unchanged at -31 to -30 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal, East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 7 lower, at $7.46 to $7.56. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 5 cents with quotations at $14.28 to $14.33. Wheat closed steady at $8.34 to $8.35. Contract bids to producers for January delivery in northern and western Illinois on corn ranged from $7.24 to $7.61, and on soybeans, $13.74 to $13.90. Central Illinois corn contracts went at $7.34 to $7.55, with soybeans $13.95 to $14.05. In southern Illinois, contract bids to producers for January delivery on corn ranged from $7.28 to $7.70. The soybeans at $13.97 to $14.26. And June-July delivered soft red winter wheat from $8.05 to $8.22. This is Ken McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday, December hogs ended at 82.47, up 72. February hogs ended at 87.37, up a quarter. April hogs ended at 91.90, down 15. December cattle Friday ended at 128.95, up 87. February cattle ended at 132.72, up 110. April cattle ended at 136.45, up 82. January feeder cattle Friday ended at 147.87, up a half dollar. March feeders ended at 150.42, up 45. April feeders ended at 151.95, up 55. Once again, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with a closing livestock report. The Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report has barrels and gilts on a carcass basis ending the session at 49 cents higher. Base price range of $70 to $75, a weighted average of $71.79. The Illinois Direct Barrel and Gilt traded steady today at $49 to $53. Receipts in Illinois are very light, 9,030 head. Illinois Direct Slaughter Sales traded steady with light demand and very light offerings. The sows under 400 pounds, 50 to 54, 4 to 500 pounds, 50 to 56, over 500 pounds, 55 to $60. Today's estimated sow receipts, 300 head. In the USDA National Carlot Pork Report, trading was moderate with light to moderate demand and offerings. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 43 cents higher at $81.70. The estimated daily hog slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday was 431,000. A week ago, 434,000. A year ago, 430,000. Week-to-date total, 1,300,000. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday, 128,000. A week ago, 121,000. A year ago, 131,000. Week-to-date total, 387,000. In the USDA estimated box beef cutout values, those values were firm on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Charged carcasses were 61 cents higher at 194.89, with select 53 higher at 174.37. We had 153 fab loads today and 30 trim loads. The choice to select spread was at $20.52. On Tuesday at the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville, they had receipts of 258 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to 50 higher. Holstein steers lightly tested, slaughter cows and bulls traded steady. Choice slaughter steers 122 to 127. Select and choice 114 25 to 121 25. Choice Holstein steers at 105. That's select and choice, excuse me. 105 to 112. Choice slaughter heifers 122 to 127 25. Select and choice heifers 120 25 to 121. At the Fairview sale barn, they had receipts of 351 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers sold steady. Slaughter calves $2 to $3 higher. Slaughter bulls not tested. Choice slaughter steers 121 to 127.50 with some high dressing to 128.25. Choice Holstein steers at 110 to 116. Choice slaughter heifers 121 to 127. Breaker slaughter cows $76 to $80. Boners at $67 to $72. Lean slaughter cows $55 to $60. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from last week: for butter, 169, down 1. For block cheese, 182.5, unchanged. For barrel cheese, 174.5, up 2. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Wednesday, 2071. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for November, $7.44. For January, $7.38. Corn delivered to Scottville for November, $7.44. For January, $7.38. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for November, $14.18. For January, $14.13. Wheat delivered to Scottville for November, $8.06. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hawk Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $7.44. Corn at Scottville, $7.44. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.18. Wheat at Scottville, $8.06. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Cloudy skies today, high temperatures in the mid-40s with north winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, cloudy skies, low temperatures in the low 20s. For tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny skies, the high in the upper 30s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, clear to partly cloudy skies and warmer. Low temperatures in the upper 30s, highs in the low 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, 29 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Listen for Fighting Illini football on the Tally Broadcasting Stations, brought to you by the Dairy Queen in Nokomis, Pena, and Greenville, McKay Napa Auto Parts Stores, First Community Bank in Hillsboro, Niehaus Cycle Sales, Historic Old Route 66 in Litchfield, and by Big Ed at Wernsing's Appliances and Video in beautiful downtown Litchfield and Carlinville. For the Fighting Illini football broadcast schedule, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
6:23 on this Monday morning. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Envirofoam of America and by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield. In our farm news today, the Army Corps of Engineers has begun reducing the flow from a Missouri River reservoir, a move expected to worsen low water conditions on the Mississippi River and potentially halt barge traffic at St. Louis within weeks. Monique Farmer of the Corps office in Omaha confirmed that reduction of outflow from the Gavin's Point Dam at Yankton, South Dakota, began Friday. She says the reduction is necessary because of drought on the upper Missouri River. The Missouri flows into the Mississippi near St. Louis. Barge traffic at St. Louis could be halted if the Mississippi drops another 4.5 feet. The governors of Missouri and Illinois and 15 senators have urged the Corps to reconsider the flow reduction or risk economic catastrophe for firms that rely on the Mississippi for shipping. The Illinois Corn Growers Association has new leadership. The group recently elected Esmond farmer Paul Taylor as the new president. He served on the group's board for 6 years, most recently as vice president. The association coordinates and conducts market development and public relations programs to help corn producers. The board has 15 directors for districts representing different regions of the state and other at-large directors. The board held a meeting earlier this month in Bloomington where they also elected other members of the state board. Here's an update from the Shelbyville Livestock Market from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with a report from the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville. Receipts on Tuesday, 258 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to 50 cents higher. Slaughter Holstein steers lightly tested. Slaughter cows and bulls traded steady. Choice slaughter steers 122 to 127. Select and choice at 114.25 to 121.25. Select and choice Holstein steers at 105 to 112. Choice slaughter heifers at 122 to 127.25. With select and choice heifers 120.25 to 121. Breaker slaughter cows at 87.50, boners 77.50 to 83.50, leans at 66 to 71.50, yield grade 1 slaughter bulls $83 to $87. This is Cam McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
The price of cattle is on target to move higher. Todd Gleason has more on the reasons why.
The number of available beef cattle is dwindling. Cattle producers have reduced the size of the U.S. herd for several years because of drought, first in the Southwest, causing Texas ranchers to empty out their spreads, then in the Midwest, keeping the price of feed items like corn high. USDA numbers bear out this liquidation of the herd, says Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt.
In the latest Cattle on Feed report, the USDA has confirmed that placements into feedlots dropped sharply in September, following substantial declines in July and August. As a result, on-feed numbers are now down nearly 3%, as the beef industry is doing its part to reduce corn and other feed usage.
That last line is truly a direct impact of this year's drought in the Midwest. It is a notable fact, but not one of a new or different historical consequence. When supplies are short, the livestock industry has always contracted. It also expands when supplies of feedstuffs are burdensome. Still, this expansion and contraction reality in no way lessens the financial woes inflicted on the industry.
Drought has been particularly cruel to the beef cattle industry. A multiple-year drought in the southern plains has been followed by a devastating Midwestern drought in 2012 that is now forecast to continue into 2013. Brood cows remain the last major livestock industry that is land extensive. So when dryness causes wide stretches of land to be unable to support cow grazing, producers have to buy feed or send those cows to town.
That's exactly what the Texans did. Those cows were sent to town to continue to be fed and bred, or at least some of them. Most went north to places like Nebraska. Then the drought in the Southwest spread to every place in the continental United States. It remains in place today west of a line that runs roughly from Chicago to Lubbock. So, just as Texas emptied out when the pastures dried up, the lots in the West, where some of those cattle went, are emptying out because the corn just isn't there.
Beef cow numbers are likely to continue to move 2 to 3% lower in the upcoming January inventory report. The mid-year readings were already reflecting a 4% decrease in the national beef cow herd. And, of course, that was before the major impacts of the 2012 drought really began to be felt. The implications are for continued cow reductions until feed and forage supplies are restored.
Those will be better times for the beef cattle industry. But today, Kansas State estimates feedlots are losing about $200 per head. The high price of feed and a small calf crop resulting in excess feedlot capacity have pushed the financials into the red. The number of calves moved into feedlots, for instance, in September was 19% lower than a year ago. It was also the smallest number placed in feedlots since USDA began tracking the figure in 1996. The July and August placements were each down 10% too. It all means the price of finished beef cattle will continue to rise, peaking sometime in the spring in the high 130s, thinks Purdue's Chris Hurt. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hog supplies remain large, which is negative for the cash market situation. Paragon Economics President Steve Meyer has the outlook for the rest of the year.
The fourth quarter is going to be pretty ugly for people selling on cash markets. I mean, we've got net prices a little above 80. I think we're probably going to stay in that range for the rest of the year. I think we've probably seen our big slaughter weeks of the year behind us, our highest. But we're still going to be running 2.3 to 2.4 million hogs a week for non-holiday weeks the rest of the year. So plenty of supplies. Those hogs are lighter than they normally are this time of year, so that helps the supply situation some. But I look for us to move kind of sideways on prices, which is not all bad. There were some forecasts of lower prices than that earlier in the summer, and still, it's not a good situation on profits. $20, $30 a head on cash sales losses. But there is some hope for some improvement next year.
And as we move into 2013, Meyer expects cash hog prices to enjoy a seasonal increase.
I think we're going to move up into the upper 80s in the spring and then probably trade some hogs well up in the 90s. I still suspect that we're going to have a few $100 hogs next summer. That's the good side, of course. The cost side is the part that's really put us in a bind, and that will get better if it rains next year. Everything really depends on that at this point.
Meyer says the pork industry has not seen significant liquidation. If producers can hold on and crop conditions improved in 2013, the market analyst says the second half of next year in 2014 could be dramatically better. For more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to www.pork.org. At the National Association of Farm Broadcasters Convention in Kansas City, we had a chance to talk to Joe Shealy of the United States Meat Export Federation. We've heard his reports many times on WSMI Radio, so we took the opportunity to talk to him about the USMEF, and he tells us what they do.
Well, we are the marketing arm for the U.S. beef, pork, and lamb industries, and so we do promotional activities in key markets. We have overseas offices in a lot of the key markets, like, say, Japan and Russia and the Middle East and Mexico and Korea. But in addition to the marketing that we do, we also work on trade access issues. So we are oftentimes in consultation with our own government or with our trading partner's government to ensure that we're getting fair treatment for our product, that our shipments are received as smoothly as possible, and that we're working on terms of trade that are acceptable. We don't always have the terms that we would like, but if we can get as level a playing field as possible, that's an important part of what we do.
Are the your efforts to open up trade in other parts of the world, are they stymied more by politics or infrastructure, just simply the fact that they might not be able to get the product to the consumer there?
In some cases, there's pushback from the domestic industry. You have a lot of industries where it's really a challenge for them to raise livestock. But yet, some of these countries, you're talking about people that remember what it's like to have a famine, or remember what it's like to have their food supply threatened by a major war. And so they want to have a certain amount of domestic production. And what we try to emphasize is that it's not really our role to try to displace or completely overturn domestic production. We're there to provide products that are needed, and in a lot of cases we find that our efforts can build meat demand in general and kind of lift all boats, so to speak. And so in countries like Korea, Japan, and even to some degree in Canada, we don't look at our, obviously we compete to some degree for market share with the domestic product, but it's not really our goal to displace them. It's to grow the pie, so to speak.
Now, what are your marketing efforts overseas? What are you concentrating on now? Any particular country or region?
Well, there's a lot of excitement surrounding Japan because we appear to be on the verge of getting broader access there. We've been back in that market for about 8 years now, but we've been saddled by a 20-month cattle age limit. And if we can get that raised to, say, 30 months, that's going to really allow us to have more cuts available, more eligible cattle to serve that market, because demand for U.S. beef in Japan is very strong right now. It's always been a strong four-quarter market, but we're seeing demand for middle meats, high-end meats. Of course, a fabulous market for products like beef tongue, where it provides a real premium. And so we're looking forward to, we don't know when a final decision will come, but we can kind of see the finish line now. And if we can get a wider supply of cattle eligible for Japan, that would be very exciting. On the pork side, we also have excellent growth in Japan. Japan could be a $2 billion market. It was just short of $2 billion last year. We feel like we'll top $2 billion in Japan this year, which is phenomenal. Mexico, which is our second largest market, should go over $1 billion again this year. And in addition to Mexico, we also have excellent growth for pork in Central and South America. So those are some of the issues that our producers are looking at. And it's challenging times right now for cattle and hog producers, but in a way that makes them appreciate those premiums that the export markets deliver even more.
That was Joe Sheely of the United States Meat Export Federation. Finally, this quick reminder, the first hay auction of the year will be held Saturday at the Madison County Ag Auction near Fosterburg, and that will start at 11 o'clock. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat now trading at 851 and three quarter, up four. March wheat trading at 867, up 5.5. December corn trading at 751 and a quarter, up 5.75. March corn trading at 755 and a half, up 5.75. January soybeans trading at 1427 and a quarter, up 8.5. March beans trading at 1418 and a quarter, up 7.25. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by Envirofoam of America.